Blog Talk Radio.
Less live in the building, man, and we all the way turned up. And tonight, we got the hot super producer Amadeus live in the building, man. He produced for almost over 50 artists and more, part of the Hitman production team, signed the Bad Boy, and he's doing his thing. And he just recently featured his hot production on Sway in the Morning, featuring Votto and many other artists. And he tonight will bless us with his presence live on the show. Along with that, we got our girl Diamond. Y'all know as our intern live on the show, you usually see her behind the camera on the TriCast doing her thing. But tonight is test day. We're going to be testing her on how she can do her interviewing. So today she's going to do her interviewing. She's kind of a little nervous, but we're definitely going to do her thing. She's going to be great. So you know what I'm saying? We definitely need that support. Call in and show Diamond that love. 347-826-7722. And, man, where is this plane at, man?
I'm just trying to find it.
It's a government conspiracy. Was there even a plane? They say they got transcripts, but I still don't believe that. I think it's a smoke screen. So we're going to talk more about that. Also, big shout out to all the children and people out there that are autistic. Shout out to Autism Month, so shout out to everybody. I actually personally deal with special needs children, and it's always a pleasure to work with them. Autism sometimes comes at a young age, or some people could develop it at an older age, but some people don't even detect it because you have severe autism, and then you have minor, mild autism, and sometimes you can get your child at a young age. They might not cool as early as another child, or their social interaction might be more withdrawn than other children. Also, sometimes they like to do things in a systematic situation. If you see them putting blocks in the same system constantly and they don't want you to touch them, most of the time, some of the kids, they deal with the autism. But it depends on how severe. I've also seen children that actually a grown adult that suffer from autism. But he fully functions, he drives, he has a job and everything. Some things he's kind of like off on, but he's functioning normally like anyone else. And I think all people that have special needs are beautiful. They just learn and think different than us. So big shout out to everybody that's dealing with their autism and being big heroes and doing their things out there. And shout out to the teachers that are helping these kids out here with autism. And today, Lush Radio Online, we went to John Bain Elementary School, and we donated some books to the library for the kids. So big shout out to John Bain Elementary School. And we also have an essay contest going on, sponsored by Deja Vu Record Entertainment, along with Lush Radio Online, XI Fashion Magazine, and also Nerd Nation. And we're also going to be giving them the first place winner and second place winner will be receiving $100 in cash. And third and fourth place winner will be receiving gift bags sponsored by our sponsors. And the topic of it is, how can you conquer bullying by being different? So that is the topic for the essay. for this year. This is the third annual one. And definitely big shout out to everybody that's doing their thing. And prom is coming up. So I know you're getting ready for that prom, graduation and everything like that. And X-Style Fashion Magazine is actually donating clothing to men and females that are going to prom this year. For more information, you can follow X-Style Fashion Magazine on Instagram. It's your girl, X-Style Fashion Magazine, live in the building. Make sure you follow A Rare Diamond live on there, which is my co-host. Isn't she beautiful? Look at her, diamond. You already know what it is. We're live in the building. A big shout-out to Andrew, our cameraman in the background. Big shout-out to our boy Aaron in the back. We just threw him on there, man. This is how Let's Radio Online we train. We just throw you in the wolves. Throw you with the wolves, man. You just go in there and you learn on the spot. We don't play no games. So shout-out to him. He's on the TriCast today. A big shout-out to Granville. So we out here working. Now, I'm going to talk to my girl over here now, Diamond.
Hey.
How do you feel, you know, being an interviewer today?
Definitely a little nervous, you know.
A little nervous.
It's not my first time interviewing, but,
okay.
I've been quick on my feet, so I'm not really familiar with who I'm a day it is, but I'm going to acclimate that.
Definitely. The whole key of interviewing is even if you don't know that much on the artist, you just make it seem like you do. You know, it's all about, you know, and then building that rapport with the person you're interviewing and stuff like that. Being an intern at Lush Radio Online, have you learned some things here?
Yes, I love interning with Lush Radio. She makes it fun. You make it fun. And I love taking pictures for you, so.
Definitely. Big shout out to everybody. And we're also looking for interns if you're interested. Log on and email us at lustradioonline@gmail.com.
And if you want an intern, you think about taking pictures, no, that's my job.
You already claimed a job. Don't even try. So let's talk about this plane, though, Diamond. What's going on with this plane, though?
Well, if there was a plane, if there is a plane out there, I think that the government did something because they're trying to, the world is overpopulated, so they got to kill somebody off. So they just,
Killed
the plane off, I think something like that happened.
I think it's a smoke screen. I think the government is up to something. They're about to do something really
always
serious,
mm-hmm.
And they're trying to put this so we can be distracted and think
mm-hmm.
that something is going on. So basically, I mean, come on, you can find if you go and put a facial recognition that they have right now with the intel. You can find somebody in Alaska somewhere, okay? So you going to tell me
you
can't find a plane with, like, over 200 or more passengers on it? Come on, son.
Right.
You even got fighters that sit here and watch out if any type of terrorists or anything, they can shoot them out of the sky. Come on. Seriously.
I think we're done.
We haven't found a black box. We don't see anything. You're trying to lie and say there's some wreckage in the water. Get out of here. Like, there was no plane in the first place. Stop thinking. And it's crazy because it's so many different distractions. And then there was not too long ago, what happened with the whole situation with the a place in New York was set on fire.
Oh, Harlem.
In Harlem, yeah, there was a fire over
yeah.
there.
I heard briefly about that story, but I don't know what actually happened. I just seen a few pictures. And
I saw some pictures too, but you know what? I think some of these landlords, these slumlords, because I noticed even in Crown Heights back in the day, they had electrical fire. But the buildings are so old and they're so cheap, they don't want to remodel them. So people's stuff are getting on fire. Plus, you know, a lot of people do those insurance scams,
mm-hmm.
too. You know, so it's just sad. You know, you just got to be careful out here. You know, the world is just really crazy.
It's hot out here, folks.
So it's a lot of things going on in the news. Anything up in the news that you're saying? Or Instagram? Anything new? Oh, not too long ago, what's the name got shot, too? Benzino got shot.
His own mama funeral. By his cousin.
He got shot at his, he was targeted by his cousin at the funeral. I think that's kind of sad, though.
He's very sad. Why would you do, if you want to shoot Benzino, shoot him outside of his mom's funeral.
I'm like, they could have had waited for that, you know what I'm saying?
Waited. Why are you mourning over his mother's death and you want to shoot him?
It was over some trick.
It was over some trick.
It was over a trick.
A female?
I'm just joking. I wanted to pick with you.
Hold on. It was over a trick. That's crazy.
I'm about to say, how many days you on the phone already?
No, I'm not. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so funny, though. And then also on top of that, the other thing that's crazy is that I actually got to see one of my actual mentors and the legends. He's a legend in hip-hop, Roxanne Shanté, this past week, where she was in a diabetic documentary about her journey dealing with diabetes and stuff like that. So I was able to spend time with her and Charity. She's a fitness trainer. We were able to talk with her this week. But tonight, we're going to have the hot super producer, Armadeus. This dude right here is doing things. Platinum Boy Music. Also dealt with over 50 artists or more. Working with Trey Songz, J-Lo, 50 Cent, and many more. On top of that, this dude can play the drums like a mean machine. And he's going to be live in the building. Bronx Strong, New York, what up? He's going to be live in the building. Let's go to the phone lines and see what we got on the phone lines, darling.
Ready.
Hello?
What up, Mr. Kid? I'm a Dez.
What up, I'm a Dez?
What up, though?
Ain't nothing much. Digging in the scene on the gangster lane. Woo-woo.
I hear you. I heard all the accolades. You know, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate all the love.
It's all good. You know, I really admire you and everything that you got going on, man. You definitely doing some serious things out here, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Definitely, man. So tonight I got actually my intern. She's out here, and she's broadcasting today. She's doing interviews. So she's
nice.
To put her on chat. She's so beautiful, Diamond. I love her. She's nervous like that. But Armadeus, man, first off, you know I got to shout you out for even the name Armadeus. People, if you don't know about your classical music.
Word up.
Armadeus, this dude was pronounced to some people as almost like a god when it came to music. He transforms lives and he transitions through centuries and centuries. And Armadeus, the producer himself, has transitioned and worked with so many different people, man. Armadeus, the producer, man. What made you decide to go and use that name in the industry?
Man, well, definitely a great question. You know, I was, as a youngin', you know, my parents, you know, sacrificed and allowed and paid for me to attend Catholic school. And, you know, I was introduced to, you know, musicianship and playing drums and stuff like that. And we were actually forced to watch the movie one day. And I was really pissed off. At first it was, you know, it was a little boring to me. You know, but once I watched the cat, you know, kind of create what he's created, and he was a genius. And one of the things that stuck out to me was the fact that he loved women. Like, he was a young cat that created music all day long, but ran around and was, you know, really silly and was a clown and a character and chased girls all day. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, this cat reminds me of me in a way. You know what I'm saying? He loves music, a class clown, and, you know, chases the young ladies around all day. And I'm like, we got a lot in common. So years later, you know, I was trying to choose a name to use, a stage name as a producer. Went through, you know, various names that I didn't think was, you know, was too cool. And you know, a friend of mine was like, yo, what about Mozart? And I was like, nah, Mozart, you know, kind of sounds a little corny. And then he was like, well, what about Amadeus? And, you know, at first I really didn't like it. I liked and respected, you know, him as a composer, but I didn't really love the name like that. But, you know, I did agree to kind of try it out for a few weeks just to hear, you know, people say it and see how I felt. And, you know, I must admit, once I heard people, you know, call me Amadeus, kind of had a nice little ring to it. You know, later on I learned that it meant loves God. So it was definitely fitting for me, and I just chose the name. And, you know, here I am 16 years later, you know, like you said, producer for over 50 artists. Definitely a name that, you know, fits me being a producer and a musician.
And touching on that, when you're saying it means love God, watching you and your interactions from past interviews and things like that, you are a person that loves God and surrounds himself with positive people to keep him progressing in life, which I like.
Absolutely.
About you.
Absolutely.
Know?
And I feel like that's what kind of, you know, that's the reason in regards to why I am where I'm at today. You know, I keep God first. You know, I'm far from perfect. You know, but like you said, I definitely try to, you know, be the best individual that I can be, you know, make an impact, make a difference in the world, you know, for the youth and for the people that, you know, have dreams and aspirations to do what I, you know, what I'm doing in their own way. And I just want to be an example, you know, of a person, you know, a young black dude from the hood, you know, that made it out and is successful and just, you know, spreading the word and living life and doing what I love to do. You know what I mean?
Simon would like to ask you a question, Amadeus.
Okay. Okay.
And I heard you when you first came on, you said you you played the drums.
Right.
That's something mm-hmm. that I've always wanted to learn. I try to teach myself, but I sound horrible. When did you actually start, you know, to practice playing the drums? And
when did you start practicing
playing the drums, Amadeus? Say that again. I didn't hear it. Say one more time. I'm sorry.
When did you start practicing playing, you know, playing the drums?
I actually started in the fourth grade, and it was by accident. It all happened by accident. So basically, long story short, I was absent on a day where we were able to decide and choose which instruments we wanted to learn to play. I really wanted to play the trumpet, I was actually sick on the day that we got to choose, and the day that I showed up the next day, there were only slots available to learn how to play the violin and the percussion. And, you know, as a young kid from the hood, it's like, definitely not playing a violin. You know, whatever book you need, whatever
that,
book. Though, I mean, now I get it. You know, as an mature adult, and even if I was mature then, you know, I was way too young to kind of grasp that concept of it being cool. I'm from the hood. I'm from the Bronx, man. I'm listening to Double X Posse and KRS-One. Ain't no cats got violins in their hands. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like that would be cool.
Your mom out here, though.
Nah, I would have been getting chased all through my hood with that little violin case in my hand. Not going out like that. So I chose percussion. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew I wasn't doing the violin. And you know, I walked into the class and saw a drum set set up. I saw xylophones. I saw, you know, cymbals and all kind of different things. And the very first day when I sat down in fourth grade, the drum teacher, you know, kind of played a rhythm and a groove, and it's like, okay, I want to see who else can play that groove. And it was like 10 other students in the class, none of them can do it. And I sat down for the first time, and I played exactly what he played. Like, he played 5 different patterns, and I sat there and played all of the different patterns. It was like, wow, I didn't even know I can do that. The thing is, it's about coordination. So if you have coordination, you'll be able to play drums, because you have to realize both hands are doing different things at one time and both feet are doing different things at one time. So if you're able to kind of move in different directions with the different body parts, you know, you can be a drummer. And that's something that I was able to do, not having any idea that I was able to do that. And it was just, you know, it was just a God-given gift.
But also as being a drummer and stuff like that, also you have to have a good ear for music. Also with and the patterns and stuff. Because you do, because, I mean, the track that you produced, the fire that I heard, especially on that morning show with Sway, I was like, yo, let me hit a quick 16 real quick.
Word up. Yeah, yeah. So, I appreciate the love. Thank you.
Definitely. I mean, and being a drummer, the transition into production, how did that go about?
You know what? It was. That's a great question. It was kind of seamless because, you know, obviously, you know, being a drummer and having everything to do with the beat and the rhythm, it kind of made, you know, sense to get into production. But before I did make that decision, I actually really thought I was going to be a rapper. We're not going to talk about that too long. You know,
no
bars to spit.
We're
going to skip over that. We're going to skip over that real quick.
You had this name called A Boogie or something like that?
Yeah, I went from A Boogie to A Dog. Man, I didn't know y'all, you was going through that to me.
I'm make you do it. Bust a freestyle real quick on your own.
I don't have nothing. I have nothing. Look, I'm the dude that's going to say, yeah, like 70,000 times and never come in.
That's a freestyle. You might want to put it on a track.
Come on, stop playing. Don't set me up like that.
She can do it. Look, we can put her in the spot. She can go for it. I'm going to just cheer her on. I'm going to be like, are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. You know what I mean? That's it. That's all you're getting out of me.
Definitely. But Simon has another question about your company.
Okay.
You work with Bad Boy Entertainment?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And how was it working with them? You know, I've always been a big Bad Boy fan.
Yeah, me as well. So, you know, I grew up on the whole, you know, Bad Boy movement, Biggie, Faithful, and 12, Mace. You couldn't tell me and my little brother that we weren't Puff and Mace, you know, at one point doing, like, little talent shows and everything like that. So I definitely, you know, grew up as a fan as well. It was definitely a blessing. I mean, when I you know, joined forces with Bad Boy, you know, I was already in place. I was already really, you know, doing my thing as a producer. I had already produced for over 50 artists, so I kind of came, you know, to Puff. Yeah, I already kind of came to them with that resume,
wow,
you know, on deck already. And what kind of got their attention was, you know, the records that I did for Danity Kane. I produced the intro on Welcome to the Dollhouse. I did a record waiting for Sherry Dennis. I did a record with Donnie Klang. You know what I'm saying? I did some records with Day 26. So, like, when I start working with their artists and records, dope records started coming out, I got their attention. And at that time, you know, I was kind of willing to make the change in regards to management. And, you know, we kind of sat down and you know, everybody came up with a plan that everybody was comfortable with. You know, myself, Harv Pierre, who was the president of Bad Boy, Conrad, DeMachi, who was the A&R, Fran Spiro, who managed all of the producers from Bad Boy, Dalton Hernandez, that worked with us. You know what I mean? So it was a collaborative thing where we sat down. Everybody was happy, and we got moving. You know what I mean? So it was definitely a great experience, you know, being in the presence of Puff and watching them create records. I watched them, you know, create Last Train to Paris. You know, I just got a lot of knowledge from him. He actually put me on the show as a judge and a music director for, you know, making his band, which was his show on MTV. He had me scoring, you know, the show, producing, you know, the background music for that, Star Maker, and you know what I'm saying? So it was,
would you ever work with Tony Dofat also?
You know what? I never had the opportunity to work with him hands-on. You know, we kind of bumped into each other a lot in passing, you know, going to the studio. I did have the privilege and honor of working with, for about a month or two, the late, great Heavy D, you know, who was definitely very close, to Tony. So I kind of saw him a lot, you know, while I worked with Heavy D. You know, and that happened right before, you know, I became a part of Bad Boy. You know, I kind of locked in with him and learned, you know, a lot about producing and everything like that. So that was an amazing experience as well.
That's dope. And also, you're coming from a lineage of some hit-making producers in the whole Hitman crew with Bad Boy, from CBJ to et cetera. Like, it's crazy right there, man. I mean,
yeah, man, like D-Dot Angeletti, you know, shout out to D-Dot, you know, a legend, man, you know, behind All About the Benjamins, behind Hypnotize, you know, the a.k.a. the Mad Rapper, you know what I mean? He really became a great mentor to me, you know, making sure my drums were right, making sure I was putting things into song format. Shout out to Buck Wild, who was also, you know, one of the Bad Boy Hitman producers, definitely, you know, a mentor to me, Marion Winans. You know what I'm saying? Like, dudes that, you know, made hits that, you know, were humble enough to, you know, like I said, take me under their wing and show me the ropes and make sure, you know, that I was, you know, doing the right thing, man. And even, you know, when I see these guys today, it's so much love. You know what I'm saying? And I just ran into Mario recently at an event. And he's like, yo, I see you, little bro. You out there doing your thing. His records is hot. You know, keep going. You know what I mean? So it's love, man.
Definitely. Now, I see that your first artist you work with was Foxy Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that position?
Crazy story. You know, I would go with Buck Wild and D-Dot, and, you know, to different, like, A&R meetings and artist meetings. Like, I remember going to, you know, with Buck Wild to play, like, Missy Elliott beats, you know what I'm saying, at Hits Factory, and then, you know, right after seeing her go meet Busta Rhymes and play him beats, you know what I'm saying? So during that time, I made a lot of different, you know, connections and created relationships with the various A&Rs. And at that time, Don Poo was A&R and an artist named Nucci Rayo that was signed to MCA. And that was my first placement. And that kind of, you know, opened up the different doors to meeting, like, Gavin and Anton Marchand, who's Foxy's brother, and me playing tracks for them. And her hearing them, you know, wanting me to come down to Chung King to meet with her and, you know, played her some tracks, and she picked out two tracks. You know, one which she wrote was the Cradles of the Grave soundtrack and the title track, and another song called Get Off Me, which was a diss record to rapper Eve, you know, when they were kind of beefing and going through their little thing. So, you know, that was the first official placements for me, and that's how that, you know, pretty much came about. And, you know, it was on from there, you know.
Yeah, I see you cross paths with a lot of different artists. Who is one of your favorite artists that you produce the track for?
Man, wow, that's a great question.
Of artists.
Wow. You know what? Before I answer that question, I would have to say and just make, you know, our listeners know, you know, I give an idea of where I'm coming from. A lot of times, you know, us as producers, we don't have the opportunity nowadays. We don't have the opportunity to actually go in the studio with the artist and fully produce the record. You know, a few years ago, I would be able to go in with Jim Jones and, you know, Trey Songz and a lot of artists I was able to go in with and actually produce the records, and a lot of them I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Chris Brown and I did the Justin Bieber record and, you know, the J-Lo record and, you know, other records for himself, and we didn't even know each other. You know what I'm saying? So we met, like, you know, like weeks after, you know, after the records were done. So, you know, with that being said, that kind of, you know, limits the you know, the selection of artists that I can actually name to be my favorites. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, and in the studio with, wow, you know what, I might have to say Mike Jones. And I know, you know, it's been a while since we heard from him, but, you know, yeah, Mike Jones, man. Before he flew me out, he's very hands-on, so he would call me all the time with, like, different ideas, different beat ideas, different concepts, and, you know, we would create the concepts together. So I would call him back and send it to him, let him see how he likes it. Yo, I love it. No, I don't love it. Change this, change that. So he was very hands-on with his project. He flew me out to Houston. We recorded the songs out there. We mixed the songs out there. He flew Trey Songz out, recorded our record. You know, so he was very hands-on, real fun, real humble. You know, he's like, yo, I know you into cars. So, like, you know, what you want me to come pick you up in today? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, come pick me up in the fan, you know what I'm saying? So I'm at the hotel. He's like, I'm downstairs. I walk out the hotel. You know, he out there in the black Phantom one day. And the next day he got the Maybach. And the next day he got the, you know what I'm saying? So just overall a good dude, humble dude, and definitely one of my best experiences in regards to actually producing and working on records. They got to be Mike Jones.
Definitely. We got a caller live on the line. Caller from the 347. You're live in the building with your girl Lushy Lush and Diamond and your boy Amadeus. What up?
Y'all should know my number already.
Oh.
And if you don't know the number, you should know the voice at least.
This sounds like 11. This sounds like Dana Dane artist 11 out there. What up, 11?
This ain't no damn 11.
Uh-oh.
You ain't picked the voice up yet?
Nah, who this?
What, one of the most famous interviewing voices in hip-hop? You don't know my voice?
Is this Doggy Diamond?
You damn Skippy.
DVD in the building. What up, though, son?
Hi. What's going on? Hey, Diamond, what's going on? I seen your Instagram, so I decided to call because, you know, Lust don't follow me or nothing like that, so I don't know what.
I do follow you.
Lies.com.net.org.
Oh.
So y'all got a producer in the building.
Yeah,
I called to ask him a question. You know, I like jacket people interviews and shit, so I called to ask him a question. You know what I'm saying?
If you don't know, Doggy, I know you should, because he has like one of the hottest internet sites out here, and he got like
nice.
All the crazy interviews in there, man. Doggy Diamonds is the truth. I love him to death. You know, he acts like a Hollywood superstar. I can't even talk.
No, I don't.
Uh-oh.
I'm a Brooklyn nigga still. I'm still in the hood. You catch me on foot and seat at any time.
Go ahead and ask me a question, though, fam.
What's up, homie?
Yeah, how do you feel about two-tracking?
I hate it.
I figured that.
Real talk.
because I hate it. Yeah,
because,
you know, at one point, when you first start producing, you get the artists, they come to the studio and they listen.
Exactly.
And now you can build a beat around the vocals. You can have drops in there. You can leave
exactly. Just
a bass line at this part. Now you send them a beat, and they just two-tracking, and you hear your shit on the radio.
You're right, exactly. I hate everything about it, bro, and it's funny that you bring that up. It's like it's taking away the essence of actually really putting records together. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, like a few years ago, you know, we was able to go in with the artist and it really produced the record and go in
mm-hmm.
and say, yo, say it like this, change that. Like you said, do drops. Like, adding drops was like one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, drops,
you know what I'm saying?
Like the old Tropical Quest drops and shit.
Real, Like, you know what I'm saying? That was one of my favorite parts. So to remove that from us, to take that from us, man, I feel is terrible, bro. You know what I'm saying? And it actually limits how great the record could actually be when you don't incorporate the producer. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can hear something as an artist and kind of do your thing and record the record, but you got to remember it first started with us. Like, we set the blueprint, you know what I'm saying? Before you could even write a rap, we gave you the vision. We had the vision, you know what I'm saying? So to not be able to come after you as the artist, you did your thing and recorded your verses and your hooks, to come after it and clean it up and make sure all of the finish and touches are done. It's like, you know, you limit yourself, you know what I'm saying, when you do that. But, you know, it is what it is these days, man, and that's kind of like, you know, what everybody is doing, and it's kind of hard to stop from happening. Would we stop sending artists tracks, you know what I mean? Then we mess around and we don't make albums, you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
we kind of forced into
it, man. Or they mixtape you.
Exactly, yeah, which is whack too, man. It's like, you know, artists is just doing mixtape. It was cool before, you know, but now it's like, now it's overboard, you know what I mean? Now it's like, okay, you kind of trying to get away from paying cash, you know
exactly.
What I'm saying? Like,
now it's on that tip.
Yeah, and now you're going to do a tour for it, though. Like, you'll put out a mixtape.
Oh yeah,
and
exactly.
Now you're going to make money from it.
Yeah, you sent it to radio, but it's not for sale per se. So, but
right.
You're getting paid from it.
Exactly.
So, all right.
So know,
I don't want to jack the interview or nothing like that.
Oh yeah,
but
we can talk about that.
No. The producer. See what it is? I'm really a producer too, so I know.
You
know what I'm saying? I know about the whole production thing and the fuck shit that come with it and shit like that.
Exactly.
So when I hear,
exactly.
when I see producers, I ask them, yo, how you feel about Tupac and the flying vocals? I know I hate it. You know what
I
mean?
I hate it too, dog. Because
a lot of
too.
Times you might send them a beat, and sometimes you might send it to them, and that might not be the peak quality because you don't want
exactly.
them to jack you, and they do it anyway.
Exactly. So now you're out there sounding crazy.
Sounding crazy, and then especially when they don't let you mix your shit. How you do a whole session and you didn't tell me to mix?
But
right.
I got a question for both of y'all then, both of y'all with the production thing. How do you kind of counteract that, though? Is there a way to counteract that? Is there any way to resolve that issue when it deal coming?
No.
Yes, the only thing you can really do is kind of what I do, and it's unfortunate, you know what I'm saying? It's basically
tag it
and let like after it's released, you know, kind of go to your blogs, go to your social networks and kind of inform the world that you did it, that you produced it. Because a lot of these cats put joints out and don't even credit you.
Yep.
You know
wow.
what I'm saying? So you kind of take advantage of the situation. I mean, it is what it is, and just make the best of it. That's why I like to tell, you know, my producer colleagues, you know, don't just, you know, it's one thing to get mad, but I mean, it's out there. So what can you do at this point? It's like,
yeah, you might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah, take advantage. Yo, I produce that, you know, let that situation create other opportunities
more
for yourself. Yeah. You know,
well, I mean,
so
what happened is it was a producer's game. Then it became a super producer game. Then it became like a five producer game where everybody's running to the same sound, and anybody with Fruity Loops right now could just do the same shit.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I'm from Hardway. I still got an SV-1200 and an S950.
I still got my MPC-X, still on my MPC-XL right now to this day.
This is what I'm saying. So I'm still Hardway. So when it became digital, anybody could download a program and say, I'm a producer, because they clicking buttons.
Exactly.
You know, but before I was, when I started producing, there was no wave. It was all your ear.
Right, yeah.
You had to
hear
it. You had to truncate. You had to tune it to make it fit in this four-bar, eight-bar loop. And then you might have to chop. You might have to do 10 chops to make that sample fit.
Exactly.
They don't
know
how to do that no more.
Well, question for both of y'all again in regards to production, because also for the young people listening, people that are in the midst of getting into production, a lot of people get this concept that a beat maker, producer, and engineer are all the same person. I mean, you could do the whole thing, but I need you guys for them to break it down for the audience out there to let them know the difference.
I mean, you know, I'm gonna chime in real quick. See, this is what something Amin-Ra taught me from the world famous Hitman. He also was in a group, Bad Boy Hitman. He also was in a group, Two Kings and the Cypher. He said a producer got changed because the producer is Barry White. Barry White might not have played the instrument, but he produced the record to the label. Quincy Jones produced the record to the label. So the beat maker and producer, they started calling what's really the beat maker the producer. So it's like produced by such and such because I did the beat. But the producer is really the person who produced the record, who put the record together and made everything happen. So that's why Puffy was getting production credit, and he didn't touch one machine.
Right.
But he might have been a person that said, turn that sound up. Lower those hi-hats. I need them to a louder 808. So that gives him, he produced the record, and then he turned the record in to himself and put it out. So everybody's a beat maker per se. But some beat makers just do the beat, and then they don't have anything to do with the record. So it might say produced by Amadeus, but he wasn't there for the recording, the mixer, or the mastering. So he just did the beat.
Right.
But he is a producer. He can do all of those things and give it to the label and say, listen right here to the changes and all that. So the terminology kind of got changed to me to where, like, when Kanye West came, it was like produced by, but every beat maker doesn't produce the record. Because if you think about, like, you got a director in movies and then you got a producer. Not the same thing.
So the producer,
you know what I'm saying? The producer is the person who puts everything together. And, you know, and then you have the executive producer, the person who puts the music out. You know, but they, but everybody's a beat maker, per se, but not everybody can say, do those vocals over. That's what makes you a producer. Do the vocals over. Oh, I don't like the way that sounds. Say the hook. Do the hook eight bars. Say that over. We need a B-line hook. That's a producer. You know what I'm saying? That's a person who's really in on the creation of the record and producing the record and giving it to the company. That's what a producer is. So that's what, in my opinion, that's what everybody doesn't do that. Some people put their beats out there for $25, which I hate.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And and then that's it. You know, they license it.
On that point, since you were talking about that, Amadeus, question. How do you feel about these now, these online sites where they just throwing beats up and all kinds of stuff? You know what I mean?
I mean, it's damaging, you know, it's damaging our worth. You know what I'm saying? You got to think,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, as an artist, and I don't blame them. I can't even get mad at the artist. Like, if you got, you know, 10 dudes, you know, 10 young cats that actually got some heat, that's saying, yo, I'll give you the beat for free, or I'll give you,
mm-hmm.
you know, the beat for $100, you know, which one would you go? Would you go pay Amadeus his fee? You know what I'm saying? Which is not, was nowhere near $100. Would you go pay Amadeus his fee? You know what I'm saying? Or homie that's on the phone with us, you go pay his fee? Or would you go to the young cat and get the track for free? And that's 9 times out of 10, you're going to go to the young cat that's going to give you the track for free. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I don't blame him, but it's just you know, it's taking away our value, man. You know what I mean?
What happened, though, it became a quantity over quality game.
Right. Right.
So instead of a dude, see, most artists love the studio because they read the Source magazines and, you know, the stories that go with hip-hop legends. Tupac had 2,000 songs, but only maybe, that's great. But we only heard 200 of them, and that means that 1,800 wasn't quality, and he wouldn't ever want that release. So what artists are doing now is saying, I stay in the studio, but a studio could be a computer and a mic. That's a studio these days. That's not what a studio is to me, because a lot of these dudes don't even have monitors. You know what I'm saying? And monitors cost, they might cost $500 a piece. And I'm not talking about them K-Rock joints either. I'm talking about some Yamahas or some Tenoys or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But then we start speaking the language that these young dudes don't even understand, because they mixing their beats. You know what I'm saying? They're mixing their headphones and, you know, certain things and for that.
A lot of them don't know how to compress the music also, because you got some highs and lows, and then when you...
Oh, they don't know how to mix anything, but they don't... They're not from that. See, most producers started out DJing, so you know how to blend, mix, you know a lot of that, or just being somebody's understudy. These dudes didn't study anything. It's like whatever the trend is, I can do that too. It's like everybody raps. The guy coming to fucking install your cable was trying to bust around and shit. Once you see the studio, you're like, yo, my nigga, put this cable in my crib and get the fuck out my house. You know what I'm saying? Everybody thinks they can do everything, but back in the days, it used to be like, I can't rap, but my man is nice. It used to be advocates. Now the advocates are the artists now. You know what I'm saying? It's niggas who I knew sold drugs their whole life, can't even talk, but now they rap. Because they feel like, I live the real life that niggas is rapping about, so I might as well rap.
true.
Same thing with the producer. You know, it's easy. Go ahead.
Hold on, doggy. On that note, I'm going to turn it over to Diamond. She has another question for Alma Davis, and we're going to touch back on that real quick.
Okay.
I see that you have a new artist, Tiffany Minon. Is it Minon?
It's like filet mignon, so like Tiffany Mignon.
Tiffany Mignon, but the girl's name. I'm sorry.
Nah, it's all good.
is that your first artist?
Oh yes, yep, yes it is.
And you producing her whole album?
Yeah, I don't believe in one producer producing entire albums. I've been a person where. I can't do it all. You know what I'm saying? I can't come up with every dope idea, every dope concept, every dope track. So, I did a few of the records, and then, I kind of reached out to different producers to see, what they brought to the table. So, we have different producers involved. One cat, young cat is actually 16 years old that produced one of the records named Brandon Bengus. So shout out to him. I got Cito Crandall and A.V. Crandall, a dope production duo. That produced on the project. I got Boogie Wizard, that produced on the project. So I brought in different cats, to make the best project we can make. You know what I mean? And I'm definitely, happy about it and satisfied with what we came up with together as a team.
And then you have a new song called Dance the Night Away.
Yeah, that's a new single, Dance the Night Away, featuring Fred the Godson, one of my Bronx brothers. Definitely a dope record, a club record, a record that, you can call it the girls and, y'all get together and get dressed and get ready to go and get fly and get sexy and then, go hit the club and dance the night away. And that's pretty much, the concept about it, just having a good time, having fun, good, clean fun, enjoying yourselves and dancing the night away, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because
Les
myself, we heard the song this morning, and,
Les
came up in here looking all sexy, talking about
you
heard the song and everything. So I was like,
oh, yeah.
We got to play that tonight.
I'm trying to
get dressed.
Yeah, let's give people some music, man.
Oh, yeah, Diamond looked good, too. Diamond looked real good. Diamond looked good, too. I saw Diamond in person, and I was like, holy shit. I saw Diamond in person, and I was like, holy shit. That might be my ex-baby mom's right there. So I got one more before we go. I got one more for Amadeus. How do you feel about what's the pros and cons of a signature sound? Because I know a lot of times when you do have a sound and you catch one with it, now everybody wants that from you. Is that a good or bad thing?
I mean, it's good, but then bad at the same time. I mean, it's good because if you got a sound, like, for instance, DJ Mustard, has a signature sound right now, and it's kind of all over the radio, and it's kind of the track that everybody is taking, and no shots, just being truthful, is, all of the tracks sound the same. They have the same drums, they have the same sounds, the same effects, the same tempo, but at the end of the day, if it's what everybody wants, I
guess. Yeah, and that might not be his fault. That
saying?
Might be what they're asking for.
And, it's definitely what they're asking for. And this game is monkey see, monkey do. Not for everybody, but, it's not a lot of artists that step out and be different and say, yo, this is my sound, this is my style, take it or leave it. You know what I mean? Everybody want to win. Everybody want to be on the radio all day. Everybody want to get money. You know what I mean? So, you kind of fall for that. But like I said, as long as you can bounce out of it, as long as, you can do a record for Chris Brown, Trey, T-Pain, Kid Ink, you can do that, but then you'll come over here and do something for Lady Gaga or do something for Cheesy or do something for, Tiffany Mignon, and it's different. As long as you can switch it up, I'm not mad at you. Like Pharrell, it was a time where he had one sound. But then he came and got crazy and gave us Happy, and he came over there, and did this new album, and it's just different. As long as you can flip it and not stay stuck in that same place, I respect it. Other than that, if it's all you can do and that's all you got, so when that trend or that style goes out, you go out, I can't respect that. You know what I mean?
Yep. All right. So I ain't mean to jack y'all interview time and all that shit, but I love this game.
Yeah.
Look, I love this I love this game so much that when I see people doing what I love, I just got to be a part of it somehow.
That's love, man. I appreciate you calling in and even giving your area of expertise and giving your love and, you know what I'm saying, and helping people in regards to what you do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, you know what? At the end of the day, we gotta be the change we want to see, and we got to teach. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I was a student before I was able to speak like this. I sat quiet. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? So I'm Lush Radio Online. I'm Isaiah Diamond Lush. I'm going to holler at y'all later on. I'm out of here.
Much love.
Much love. Diamond.
Much love.
Later.
I got to definitely do an interview on 4 DVD holidays if you didn't do it already.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you need. We'll get that done.
Definitely. They in New York, actually. So they got, like, close to, like, at least the numbers. They both with the close to, like, World Star. And, they get the realest interviews ever. So... Definitely,
okay.
We definitely want to get you an interview with them. Okay,
cool.
So the other thing, she was touching on Tiffany Mignon, like, you, Freddie Godson is like family to Lush Radio. We've been with him since he started and growing as an artist. I'm very proud of him. And so how did you come about? Because I know Platinum Boy Music, the whole publishing, the whole production, everything. You have a whole conglomerate of different people that are kind of on the same wavelength, producing excellent sound from the company. How did the whole the cohesion between you and Tiffany Mignon come about?
You know what? It's actually a real dope story. She's from Harlem, you know, so she's representing Harlem, and I'm representing the Bronx, and she's actually, you know, the first cousin of the late great rapper, an amazing rapper, legend Big L. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so it was in the bloodline for her, you know what I'm saying? And she actually toured the world as well, you know, singing backgrounds and performing and opening up for, you know, artists such as Jay-Z and Khalees, and she toured with Talib Kweli for 7 years, you know, all around the world with him. And you know, so she's been doing this, man. She does it for real, and she has an amazing voice and amazing talent. And I actually had the privilege of meeting her in the studio when I was working with Heavy D. He actually called her manager to come down and actually write to the tracks that we were producing, you know, for the artist that he was producing for, you know, being signed to Puff. So that's how we met. And, you know, the moment I heard her voice and heard what she was doing with her pen, you know, I was like, yo, she's amazing, and she's dope at what she does. And, you know, we connected, you know, immediately, man. And, you know, it took us some time to kind of get the project done, you know, with me touring and the work that I was doing on my end production-wise, and, you know, her touring and doing what she did. It kind of took a while for us to come and just sit down and really focus on getting the album and everything done. So when I came off the road this time with Trey Songz, I had about 6 months off. You know, I sat down and we had a meeting, and I was like, yo, we need to get this done. We need to get you out here. You know, people need to hear your story, your voice, see your talent, and appreciate it. And we got the album done, and I'm really, 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 really 1,000 really excited about it, happy about it. It's dope. It's called Love Vendor. It's out now on iTunes, Amazon, Rhapsody. You can get it everywhere. And that's how it all came about.
I got the song right now. You
want to
introduce it? It's called Dance the Night Away.
This is Tiffany Mignon, Harlem's finest, Angel of R&B, her first single, Dance the Night Away, featuring Frederick Godson, produced by my homie Boogie Wizard and myself. I'm a dance live right here. You know what I'm saying? Let that joint go.
You already know what it is. Let's go.
For
me, you know what I mean? So now she was
able to go. Tiffany Mignon, what up, baby? Amadeus on the beat. Let's go, boy. I'm on the dance floor. That's when I had an epiphany. That's when I seen Shorty. Oh, that's Tiffany. I jumped in the game. Amadeus the referee. DJ throwing some Fred the God, preferably. Mama moving. I hit her with the wop. She started giggling. Oh, yeah, I'm from the block. Switch to the two-step. Then hit her with the shuffle. Then I spent off. I'll be back in a couple.
All week, working hard. Can't wait to get down tonight. With my ladies, yeah, we feeling all right. About to hop up in my 745, cause I'm ready to party. And we're about to tear this club up, looking cuter with my hair up. By the end of the night, I'ma let my hair down.
DJ's playing my favorite song. I got
got my freakum dress on, with my nails done, hair done, everything did. Champagne with the top of the lid. Yeah, everybody goes, about to do the most, meet me on the floor. Why don't you just stay with me? Yeah, watch me while I work, flirt until it hurt, come and get dessert. Show me what you've got. Gonna shake my derriere. Yeah, yeah. The night is so remarkable. My body, unstoppable. Hello. Let me see your two-step. The party's not over yet. Ladies, if you know you look good, let's make it last forever.
DJ's playing my favorite song.
I got my freakum dress on, with my nails done, hair done, everything did. Champagne with the top of the lid. Yeah, everybody goes, about to do the most. Dessert. Show me what you've got.
Shout to the Ciroc, now we back to business. The spotlight's on, crowd in the back's a witness. He screaming, go Fred, some go Tiff. Can't really grind on her, I'm packing a full fifth. Everybody jumped in, they threw on the right song. This electric slide might turn on the lights on. Watch, not talking my bright lawn. Look at all this ice on, you saying the price wrong. Back to Tiff, the club is gon' flip. Turn it to a house party, kidding, play kitsch. I'm heavy, so some moves I get away with. Fred the God, nothing to play with. I'm outta here.
Everybody toes, about to do the most, meet me on the floor.
Why don't you just stay with me?
Watch me while I work, flirt until it hurts, come and get dessert. Show me what you've got.
Yo, it's your boy Spliff Star. I'm in the DMV right now. You're listening to Lush Radio Online. Alright? This is what we do. It's for real. We only play that real shit over here. We only talk about the real motherfuckers over here. We don't be messing with all that laffy taffy taffy waffy shit. You heard me? This is what it is. Flip mode, paper rock, we in the building. Lush Radio Online. It's your boy Spliff Star. Peace, hair grease, panties and drawers. I'm out of here.
George, you left the building. Shout out to my man Spliffy. I talked to him the other day, man. Big shout out to my dude. He's funny. Yo, but Amadeus, yo, the song is hot, and on top of that, see, I don't know, you remember the group Jeanne back in the day?
Yeah, absolutely.
She kind of gives me that Jeanne party-like feel a little bit.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, they definitely did their thing. I can't forget them, so that's a good. I'm not mad at that comparison.
Definitely. I used to love them back in the day. And, wow. I mean, her voices, she has different ranges and stuff. And, I mean, the song is hot. It's definitely a party. Makes you feel good. Put on your hot dress, hot suit on.
Exactly.
It is on. You out there. Put on the toast, man. Definitely a hot song.
That's right. We going out tonight, right?
Hey, we going now. Turn out.
That's the night away. Word up, yeah.
Also, I found that like around 15, 16, you decided to come up with your company's name, man. That's a big decision.
Yes.
15, 16 years old. You was already on the
business,
you know what I'm saying, mode at that time, man.
Right. I mean, I wasn't even prepared. As I sat in the ASCAP office, you know, kind of registering my name and getting signed up with ASCAP, you know, the guy's like, yeah, so what's going to be the name of your company? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, we need a name. In order to get you rolling, we need a name. So kind of, you know, and I was terrible with names, you know, as we mentioned earlier, be, you know, starting off with A Boogie and A Dog, and I was like, okay, this might be a sinking ship right here. But I sat there and, you know, kind of came up with a little dope concept, and I was just like, well, you know, I want everything that I make to go platinum, and, you know, we already know my gender is, I'm a male, you know, and I was young at the time, so I was like, Platinum Boy. And the dude was like, yeah, that sounds kind of cool. And I was like, yeah, there it is, Platinum Boy Music. And that's how I got the name.
Definitely. But on top of that, you know, at that time, you know, even being a producer at that young of an age, and, you know, versus some people now, it's like a lot of people didn't know about publishing and things like
right.
that.
You know, at that time. Right.
So being so young, were you aware of all of these things that came with the business of becoming a producer and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you know. I actually, you know, for me, I was blessed because I had people that were in the business, you know, that were family friends and people that I knew, you know, so I got a lot of information and different things from them, and I picked up the book, All You Need to Know About the Music Business, you know, by Donald Cashman, you know what I'm saying, and I had that book as a youngin', and I would go to school reading it, I would leave the school reading it, I would read it at lunch, I would, you know, so I kind of educated, you know, myself with, you know, that information that I needed to know, you know, in the business, you know what I mean? And that's how I knew at 16 years old, yo, I need ASCAP. I need to sign up. I need a name. I need a publishing company. You know what I mean? So that's how it all, you know, that's how I got my information. So for those that are tuned in that want to know about the business, the book is still, you know, available. It's actually been updated. I've recently told about 5 people about the book, and all of them purchased it. And, you know, they're on their way to learning everything they need to know about the business. And that's why the book is called That, All You Need to Know About the Music Business, or Everything You Need to Know About the Music Business by Donald Cashman. So you can get it online, Amazon, Google it, find it, and, you know, you'll learn everything you need to learn in that book, publishing, royalties, management, you know, percentage, everything, producer fees, you know, like everything you need to know is in that book.
And it's good to know, because coming into this game, a lot of people – get something, don't have that support system. And sometimes
right.
you get the short end of the stick. And especially back in the day, because a lot of people now, even the artists, even Roxanne Shante even talked about it. Definitely, you know, my big shout out to her. We shooting a documentary with her, but she even talked about it. Like back then, they came in at a young age. They didn't know about royalty rights and publishing and things like that. But now, as they get older, they know more about it. But it's like, when you're set up in that situation, you got a lot of hungry people that are out to take advantage of you in this industry, you know. So you have to be in the know in anything that you're doing. And I know Diamond has a question for you.
Okay.
What is your relationship with Trey Songz? I see that you were on tour with him. Well, you were on tour with him as a drummer. How do you kind of like balance out the two between producing and drumming? You know.
Man, that's a great question. It's very difficult. You know, believe it or not, when I'm on the road, I actually don't produce at all.
Wow.
You know, because like the gentleman said, what's the guy's name that was on the online with us before that called in? Yeah, it's kind of hard. I got the MPC that I use. I got keyboards. Like I don't use the software right now. You know what I mean? I haven't switched over to that. I'm still, you know, on the hardware. You know, for those who are out that don't know what hardware is, it's like I actually have actual keyboards in my studio and drum machines, and like I'm not running everything. Yeah, you know. So you know, when I'm on the road, I'm on the road. You know what I mean? And I'm, you know, being the music director for Trey Songz and the drummer, and I'm kind of doing that now. I do still send out music. You know, I have my computer with me. So, like, there's been times where, you know, while on tour, you know, I've placed records on artists or I've sold tracks to artists, because regardless of wherever I am at, I can always, you know, get online and send out music. So, you know, I still send out music and still get on albums, but I don't actually create music while I'm on the road. But it's cool because, you know, like, say, for instance, you know, there was a point where we was out, like, half the year. So when I came home from, you know, touring and being in Europe and overseas and London and Australia and all these different places, I was so inspired from, you know, meeting people and seeing different ways of life and money and, you know, flying, and just the experiences allowed me to create and be creative. So I created some great music when I came back. You know what I mean? So it has its pros and cons. More pros than cons.
Definitely. But I mean, it's definitely, you know, you're exposed to so many different aspects of being a producer and a drummer, being on tour. I mean, it's a lot. It's kind of like, is it become strenuous sometimes for you?
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, you know, I'm a musician, you know what I mean? I love music. I'm passionate about it. You know, but, you know, in life and in business, you know, things change. And, you know, I'm grateful to be able to, you know, play an instrument, which allows me to, you know, travel the world and my gift take me all around the world and be able to tour with Trey Songz and be able to make money in different ways. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's, you know, touring, whether it's endorsements. You know what I mean? Because sometimes the production, you know, thing could slow down a little bit, or, you know, like we were talking about earlier, having a certain sound. I'm never going to do what everyone else is doing sound-wise. I'm never like, okay, Mustard is winning right now with the, hey, are you going to do that? Like, I'm never going to turn on my NBC and say, okay, I'm going to make 10 beats like DJ Mustard today. I'm never doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather not produce or not work if I'm going to, you know, not respect the art of production and respect what it is and what I create and put out to the world. So, you know what I mean? There's slow times where, you know, you may not sell a beat for a month or two, and then, you know, 3 months later you might sell 10 beats. It depends. It's up and down like that. So to be able to tour and to get money in different ways, I think is great. So, you know, for the producers that are out there, the writers, you know, be able to multitask, be able to have more than one thing that you're capable of doing, whether it's producing, whether it's being a musician, whether it's managing, whether it's modeling, whether it's, you know what I'm saying, whether it's writing, songwriting, whether it's doing radio interviews, just don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know what I mean, be able to do different things to bring in, you know, different income.
Definitely, and that's true. I mean, we saw from Grace, like, for real, as you mentioned, I mean, he switched up his sound. And now he's dealing with crazy corporate accounts. I mean, and he's doing from different aspects of stuff. You got Swiss Beats. I mean, he was a particular sound. But even though we know his sound, he's going into artwork, from designing cars to Reebok to freaking even Monster. I mean, so it's showing you that you don't have to just stay in one realm and get stuff.
Right.
In. And the fact that you have different facets of what you do shows us that this, and what I heard you say one time, you know, basically you live life limitless, like I always say. There's no limit to what you can do in life.
Right, absolutely.
Definitely. And also on your spirituality, does that keep you so grounded? Because you don't work with so many people, you could be cocky. If you wanted to be,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's like, it's you have, in the business, and I just had this conversation the other day, in the business that we're in, you know, you have to have a certain level of confidence. So, you know, I'd rather be confident, you know, and really confident than to be cocky. You know, cocky can be, you know, negative, but being confident can be positive. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, you know, the people who have made me who I am today is obviously the artists, but more so the fans, you know, the people that actually go out and buy the albums and go out and support and go buy tickets, you know, to go see us in concert or, you know what I mean, go actually download on iTunes the new albums when they come out. And those are the people who make us who we are. So I don't feel anybody else should ever, you know, take those people for granted. Like, you should always be appreciative, always be humble, always show love. You know, somebody want an autograph, sign an autograph. Somebody want a picture, you know, sign a picture. Somebody want to talk. You know what I mean? It doesn't take anything away from you as an individual to show and spread love. Now, obviously, there's times when, you know, you can. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to get up and take 7 pictures while I'm at pizza with my son. You know what I'm saying? So there's a time and place for everything. But, you know, most times it's all love. I appreciate the love that people are giving me for, you know, for the music. At the end of the day, if we think about it, it's like, yo, I make music in my studio, and this is the music that's in my head, and there's the music in my heart, and, yo, this music, this sound that comes out of me traveled all around the world, and people is loving and appreciating this song, that this idea, this beat that came from me, like little old me, little kid from the Bronx that dreamed of doing this one day, like, you know what I'm saying? So I count my blessings, man. I count my blessings, and I never take it for granted. and I just stay humble, you know what I mean, and I just show love. And that's how, you know, people, you know, gravitate towards me, and people really respect and love what I do and love me as an individual. Just be humble. Just be cool, man. Ain't nothing wrong with being cool.
Now, you've been doing this for so long. Is there any other anything you want to do branching out of music? Like, say, would you want to produce movies or, you know, go into another genre of entertainment?
I've done a lot. I've done a lot of scoring. I do a lot of scoring for ESPN, you know, creating the background music for highlights and SportsCenter. And
wow.
I created the ESPN First Take theme song with Wale and Staly. As I mentioned earlier, I scored and produced a lot of the music for, like, Star Maker, the show that Puff had on VH1, and worked for Diddy, and he had on VH1, and Nick and his band. Like, I produced a lot of that music. You know, I did some music for Burger King commercials. I did music for EA Sports. You know what I'm saying? So, like, music can take you anywhere. There's music everywhere. If you put on a TV right now, in the next 5 minutes, you're going to hear a beat, you're going to hear a song, you're going to hear a melody, whether it's a Burger King commercial, whether it's a Chrysler commercial, a Cadillac commercial. Music is everywhere. You know what I mean? So there's no limits to what you can do with music. So I definitely didn't tap into, you know, TV. But, you know, I love fashion. People who know me personally know that I'm really a character. Like, I'm really a silly guy. Class clown, you know, growing up in school. I love to make people laugh. I love to make people smile. So, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea, you know, later on down the line, kind of getting into acting and getting on film and, you know, doing that type of thing and doing something in fashion and just being a real mogul and exec, you know, really taking Platinum Boy Music to, you know, to that next level and becoming, you know, a strong empire such as Bad Boy or Def Jam or, you know what I mean? So just really becoming powerful.
I think your second artist, I know you got a first artist, is Tiffany Mignon. You know,
right.
That girl Diamond, you know, she can bust a tree.
Uh-oh.
I can make it rain, I make it rain diamond, so all the girls in the world can keep on shining for precious. The eight classes. Yeah, I failed math, but I bet I passed it in class.
Man. This was ready. This was ready. Like, was ready with no hesitation, no delay. Just ready.
On point. I can sing, too, man. Bye. In the background. Oh, man. So, yo, but you're on that, though. You're a great person. I love your energy. Everything that you've done has been so immaculate. And, I see nothing but good things for you, you know, in the future. So the last two questions I do have for you, though, Amadeus, is what's the difference between the Amadeus from back then and the Amadeus now?
Wait, say that one more time.
What's the difference between the Amadeus from back then to the Amadeus now?
Not the real Amadeus and me or young Amadeus, like me and the new me?
I want the real deal, the difference between the Amadeus back then and
then. I mean, obviously, back then, I think I can't say that. I was going to say he was doing things on a bigger scale. I mean, he was composing, you know, and putting together music that contained, like, 200 people. You know what I'm saying? So he had, like, actual instruments and actual people that followed his lead, and he really conducted and wrote, you know, actual masterpieces. So, you know what I mean? It's really hard to compare, you know, myself to a genius such as that, you know. So,
I'm not talking about Mozart. I'm talking about you.
You're talking about me?
Yes, Amadeus.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't know where we was going.
I'm talking about you.
Wow, man, that's a great question. the difference between young Amadeus and Amadeus now, wow. Just growth. In all aspects, I mean, growth musically, you know, growth in my musicianship, growth as a man, you know, growth in business, you know, just appreciating life, you know, just grateful of where I'm at. You know, I've dreamt of this, as I mentioned, as a young kid, and, you know, to now, you know, be able to look back and see that everything that I've dreamt of comes to pass. It's like, is amazing. Is amazing. It's a blessing. I'm appreciative. You know, I'm still a silly guy. you know, just a lot more mature. You know, I have a family to take care of. I have loved ones. You know, a lot of responsibility now. And people are watching. You know, people know who I am, and people know, you know, what I've done and what I bring to the table, and you know, people are watching me, and I'm an example, and I'm a, you know, a role model to a lot of people. So I don't, you know, take that position lightly. I do the best that I can to be the best person, to be the best producer, to be the best drummer. And I'm just living life, loving what I do, and loving, you know, creating music and touching the people. So, you know, a lot has changed since, you know, Young Amadeus.
Definitely. And big shout out to Jason Bourne for hooking up this interview.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jason Bourne, a.k.a. Basquiat, a.k.a. The Plug. You know what I'm saying? For putting this all together. Yo, I don't know if it's too late, but I sent you that medley. I don't know if you guys got it. It was kind of late in the game. I don't know if you got it, but it's a medley that I sent through. It's basically like 4 minutes, and it's, I actually put together myself, you know, kind of a reel of, you know, a lot of the records that I produce. So basically it just kind of like goes into each record, you know, simultaneously. And I don't know if you guys have it. I emailed it over, you know, before I called in, but I would love to play that just to, you know, familiarize people with some of the joints I've done. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna try to see if we can get it up. But what I do have.
What you got? What you got?
I actually got, when you were playing the tracks on Sway Joint, I got most of the parts or whatever where you were playing the tracks and Vado was sitting on it and Bravo and stuff.
Okay.
So I got that, so I'm gonna play a snippet of that and stuff.
Okay.
That's what's crazy. Yo, Vado, yo, I don't know who that dude Bravo is, but he was murdering them tracks,
yo,
huh?
Yo, he went in, yo.
He went in. Murdering the tracks, man.
He went in. I mean, that's that young hunger. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, as when you're in the game, when you're on, you know, I'm speaking, I'm generally speaking, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes when you're on and you're in and you connected and, you know what I'm saying? It's different from a cat that's hungry, that want to get on, that ain't on. You know what I'm saying? So he kind of came up there. He was hungry. He was by himself, no entourage. He took the train up, you know what I'm saying, from Virginia or somewhere crazy and just was ready. Just
yo,
was ready.
That dude, Instagram, dude was a monster. I'm going to go ahead and play a snippet of that. This is all for the Sway in the Morning show.
Sway.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Shake.
Wake your punk ass up.
Cross out your eyes.
What you think about that, Vado?
Caught me in the land, made their faces tight. Sport a leather band, but the face is bright. You would've thought man was facing life. I'm arguing to connect, let me make it right. I'm loyal to my set like a faithful wife. Royal blue, new vet with the race of strife. Yo, go ahead, I'm gonna come back to you. Go
okay,
ahead.
I got
you.
There you go.
You already know, I got it. Bravo. Just give me the microphone, I'ma flame it. Time to get acquainted, all of the monsters I came with are metaphorically dangerous. They've been critically tainted, enslaved, hated, you name it. They mercy went down the drainage, they know exactly what pain is. Me, I'm just simply heinous, creative thinkers, the strangest. World's famous, the rangers, and lyrically insanest. Most wicked and vivid, explicit pictures is painted. Impossible to contain it, genetically from Uranus, out of this world. Flooring on more tracks than a trainer's a legend. Like Joe Namath, know exactly what the game is. Christopher Columbus, the rap, take it over and claim it. I change it and rearrange it, then name it Smash Entertainment. Brainless rappers, the lamest. Wanna beef and I'm Angus. My flow is more powerful than the 41 long stainless. I hold it, load it, and aim it. Cock it, lock it, and bang it. Unloading you whack rappers instead of firing ranges. Nothing but target practice and shitting on them like laxatives. Rappers softer than mattresses. Accurate psychopathic shit. Adequate track. Havoc immaculate, rap activist, flow is sharper than cactus, is mind of a college graduate, lyrical linguistics, verbally scientific, terrific, and more gifted than anyone of existence, from a solid to a liquid, then a liquid to a molecular gas when I flick it, blow the world up when I kick it,
Yo, who says a molecular gas?
Yo, yeah, he went in.
Molecular gas.
Nah, he went in.
And that track right there, you heard that fire? That was from your man Amadeus, man.
Yeah, he went in. Like, that's, you know, that's called hunger. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yo,
put the beat on and you know, you eat food. You know what I'm saying? That was like lobster. He had like lobster. He had linguine. You know what I'm saying? He had asparagus with hollandaise sauce on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, boy went in. He went in. Now, he from Virginia, man. I got his info. I definitely connect y'all. You know what I mean? That'd be dope for them to have him up on the show. You know what I'm saying?
That's what he would do, because we in the DMV, we in Maryland, so if he could come through, yo.
Yeah, that'd be hard, yeah.
That'd be hard. I think we need to make sure one day we got to do like a Freestyle Friday and bring you in and get some and see who can murder the joint the hottest, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Like that, you know what I mean? So, but yo, you are a beast at what you do.
Thank you, bro.
A wonderful person inside and out. I hear nothing but good things about you in the streets.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? And your work ethic is serious. And I just wish nothing but the best for you. You got any last words for Amadeus Diamond?
Keep doing what you're doing. And next time, follow me on
Instagram. You're beautiful. I want
no doubt.
I'm checking one, too. For real, man. Oh, I forgot to ask you, what's your favorite cereal? When you was younger, right? And you used to watch Saturday morning cartoons. What was your favorite cereal, dog?
Yo, I think my favorite joint was Kaboom, yo.
Kaboom.
I don't even know if you know what that is, but it was like little, they like Cheerios, like it. They got the little marshmallows, so I'd be digging in the box and
what?
Getting all the extra marshmallows and putting it. Yeah, it's a joint called Kaboom. Either Kaboom or Kick.
Somebody call in and tell me.
Yeah, choice. Yeah. You might have to look that up online and just, you know, kaboom,
yo,
man. You know, and I don't even know if that was like a. No, you gotta find Kaboom, man. And I don't even know if it was like a major cereal, like, you know, back in the day. You know, I love my parents to death, man. They, you know, they sacrificed, you know, for my brother, myself, and I got a brother and a sister, and you know, we all went to Catholic school. You know what I'm saying? So, and tuition for Catholic school was like $400 a month each, like per kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, so all of the, and I'm glad we're talking about it, so people can know where I've come from. Like, so all of the fancy stuff, like we never had a pair of Jordans, like we had to wear the school uniform. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, them. I remember not even being able to get like Frosted Flakes and like,
wow,
you know, Cheerios, like the real, you know what I'm saying, like the Kellogg's brand. So I could be naming a cereal that wasn't even like a real brand. It could have been, you know, the discounted cereals. Like, I don't know. I just remember the name. So, you
wow.
know, I say that to say, you know, I appreciate, you know, the small things. I appreciate the sacrifice that my parents made. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yo, kaboom, yo.
Kaboom, right here.
Yeah,
I'm going to post this on Instagram. It got the little crown on the joint.
Yes,
the
sir. Yes, sir. That's it right there. Kaboom, yo. Kaboom. And I already told y'all I was a class clown, so the whole clown thing, that might have been why I picked the cereal.
Yo, they already found it and researched it and found the picture, yo. We're posting it on Instagram.
I told you it existed. Kaboom, yo. Shout out to my mom and my pops who put me on to Kaboom. He gets you some Kaboom.
Word. Shout out to Kaboom. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Amadeus. Shout out to everybody. Also, shout out to all the people dealing with autism out there. You already know what
absolutely,
it is.
Absolutely. God bless y'all.
Definitely. And stop fronting. You know there was no plane out here, government. We ain't playing games with you. How you can't find a plane, but you can find a dude down the street. I'm not playing
right.
games with you.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead and give them all your social networks where we can check you out at, fam.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we got the website, www.platinumboymusic.com, www.platinumboymusic.com. Tiffany Mignon also has her website, www.tiffanymynon.com, tiffanymignon.com. I'm on Instagram, Amadeus PBM, PBM standing for Platinum Boy Music, Amadeus PBM, and my Twitter is @producer Amadeus. So that's, you know, reach out to me there. I'm pretty good on the responses on Twitter and, you know, that IG. I'm not scared of the follow button. You know what I'm saying? So anybody who, you know what I'm saying? You know, anybody who listens to the show.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, you see me? I'm not scared of the follow button, man. It's like a lot of people got like a little disease. It's called hate, like in their finger, in their pointer finger, in their thumb finger. You know what I'm saying? That they don't, they're scared to press that follow button. But I'm not like that. So if you hit me up saying, yo, I heard you on the show tonight. You was dope. You rocked it. You did your thing. I appreciate you. I'll follow you back. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how I do. I don't, you know, I'm not scared.
I'm going to definitely hit you on the flip side because, you know, I want that little video shout-out for Lux Radio Online so I can post it on my Instagram.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. Oh, yeah, that's nothing. Yeah, we you know, I can call that on the iPhone real quick and throw that to you. You know what I'm saying? That's nothing.
Yeah, I know what it is. Well, we love you. We love you.
Love y'all, too, man. Thank y'all for having me.
We love you. Lux Radio Online, man. It's all the way turned up. It's Friday, man. We had your boy Amadeus live in the building. Amadeus, we love you. Definitely going to hit you on the flip side, all right, fam?
No doubt. Love. Back to you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's what it is, man. Lux Radio Online, we just had the hottest dude in the building. Amadeus. You already know what it is, man. Big shout out to him, man. How you feel about Amadeus, man?
He's real dope and down to earth, though.
Definitely, definitely. And you know what I'm saying? I definitely, you know, I like the explanation and stuff about production and everything that they had, you know, to explain because some people... You know what I'm saying? Just don't know what's good. But you know what I feel like right now? I feel like I'm Titanium. How you feeling?
I feel like I'm happy.
Oh, you want to play happy again?
No.
You want to play happy or you want to turn down for what?
Turn down for what?
You going to hit it, though? Are you going to do it for the vibe?
I'm going to do it for the vibe.
Are you going to do it for the vibe?
I ain't going to do it.
Do it.
I ain't going to do it.
You lying?
Song.